Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds Gummy Clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
Hello, hello. Evan Gulak here. What you're about to listen to is a crossover episode with Death by Dying and SCP Archives. If you aren't familiar with SCP Archives, I highly encourage that you check them out. Each episode, the SCP Foundation investigates strange anomalies and documents them for research and to protect civilization from the unknown. It's totally bonkers and still manages to creep under your skin. I've definitely been hooked. So go check them out! Thank you so much to the SCP Archives team. We had an amazing time collaborating with you. And now I present to you The Case of the Phantom Bicycle.
Warning, the Foundation database is classified. Unauthorized access will result in detainment. Within this archive, you'll find the procedures, descriptions, and accounts of the most notorious anomalies we've encountered to date. Secure, contain, protect.
Item number, SCP Object Class, willfully ignored, like your grandmother's questions about what you're going to do after art school. The following are field notes from Dr. Ted Kith. We are supposed to keep the names of our agents classified, but we recently got in a fight about carpooling, so you can deal with it, Ted. The Foundation received an anonymous tip to investigate a house in the town of Crestfall, Idaho. Crestfall cannot be found on any map, nor has been documented in any database. Through word of mouth, however, we are to understand that Crestfall is best known for their rhubarb pie and an infamous story of a woman who was eaten by birds in the 70s. The town folks seem particularly proud of this. We both know it was your turn to drive, Ted. Ted's field notes read as follows.
8 p.m. I have finally arrived in Crestfall. The driving instructions were unclear. The anonymous tip stated, start driving nowhere in particular and hope for the best. I was skeptical, as I was in fact terrible at hoping for the best. But sure enough, 6 hours and one crying spell later, I was riding down a nameless dirt road leading to the town square. To the east is the Crestfall Graveyard, where the crumbling tombstones in the furthest corners date back to the late 16th century. To the south, there is a vast, dark forest comprised of coniferous pines, slouching willows, and twisted oaks. The outskirts of the town are surrounded by a series of interconnected, perfectly maintained neighborhoods. The grass is cut short, the porches are swept, and the bushes are pruned. The windows are clean. A few people are quietly pushing shopping carts up and down the uneven sidewalks. ...8:21 p.m. I am hiding behind a shrub. Across the street is the house in question, 1533 Grumbling Grove. The curtains are drawn, but the lights are on inside.
No time like the present, after I get myself out of the shrubbery.
8:32 p.m. A woman named answered the door with a wild look in her eyes.
Are you the woman of the house?
I'm the only person of the house. I live alone.
Assuming I was going to be invited in, I stepped forward, but she blocked my path. She instead exited the house and led me to the garage. The paint on the garage door was flaking to reveal the metallic sheen that lay underneath. What could possibly be inside? I've seen my fair share of unnerving anomalies. Never-ending staircases, deranged plague doctors, soul-sucking vampires. My father, when he tries to cook. What dreadful aberration could be awaiting me on the other side of that door? Pulled the garage door open. I held my breath. It was a garage. Nothing out of the ordinary. A lawnmower, a rake, a shovel, a collection of tools untouched, and at the dead center of the garage, a bicycle. I looked around to see if there was anything else hiding in the dark corners of the dimly lit room. Nope. Just a bicycle. It was a worn navy blue beach cruiser. Its tires were mostly deflated, with an upright seating posture, a single-speed drivetrain, and a straightforward steel construction with expressive styling. It stood perfectly upright, despite not having a kickstand. All was quiet.
Where's the anomaly?
It's right there.
Where?
There.
Suddenly, the brass bell on the bicycle's handlebars rang on its own accord. The front half of the bicycle turned to face me directly. Explained that she has a bicycle infestation and she can't seem to get rid of this one. It has been wreaking havoc in her garage for a week now, and has shown no intention of leaving.
It has been ruining all of my late husband's wooden duck collection.
Further investigation of the living bicycle is required.
The founder of Panasonic once said,
"We can lead more meaningful and constructive lives
through the pursuit of activities that will ensure
a better today than yesterday,
a better tomorrow than today."
Panasonic is committed to creating a greener,
more equitable future for everyone.
Explore Panasonic Green Impact
at na.panasonic.com/green impact.
Ted woke up before dawn and walked down to the Crestfall Reservoir. He smoked a final cigarette and a pack of Luckies. He frowned. They didn't sell Luckies there. He waited for everyone to wake up. He spoke with locals and compiled everything they knew about the bicycles. At night, packs of bicycles roam the streets of Crestfall. When the town grows quiet and the sun has long since set, they wander down alleyways and boulevards, through the town's square and perfectly maintained neighborhoods, with no clear destination in mind. No one in town was forthcoming with a definitive answer as to their exact purpose. Some believe bicycles have acquired sentience and intend to become the new dominant species of this planet. Others are of the opinion that this is all just an elaborate prank conducted by local teens, but this seems exceptionally unlikely. Murmurs on the street indicate Ted might be able to find the answers he was looking for from someone known only as the Wild Man.
11:07 p.m. There are 14 shops in the town square of Crestfall. Of the 14, 6 sell products for oral consumption. Of the 6, 2 sell pies that meet contemporary health code standards. Of the 2, I was told I could find the Wild Man at the Carlson & Carlson's Delicious Pastry Shop. It is 4,235 square feet, with rusty orange terracotta roofing weathered by the frequent rain of the region. I just feel like describing things in exacting detail. I sat at the corner of Carlson & Carlson's Delicious Pastry Shop with a slice of rhubarb pie. Are you ever so alone you can hear yourself chew? It's disturbing. Outside, I paced beneath the awning, fantasizing about retirement and smoking some off-brand garbage cigarette with a picture of a mandolin on the box.
I got you now, little yum-yums.
A noise came from around back. I rounded the corner to discover the bottom half of a man sticking out of an alleyway dumpster. I cleared my throat.
Excuse me, sir. I am Agent D-0389. I'm looking for a Wild Man. Do you know where I can find him?
I have done nothing wrong. Nothing, I say.
The man leapt from the dumpster with surprising agility. He was clutching a crumpled pie to his bare chest.
I have every right to eat this pie. It is old pie. It is trash box pie. That thrown away pie is free pie. Public pie. Which makes it my pie. Capiche? No one wants to share a pie with a Wild Man. I have to find it on my own.
Are you the wild man?
Does wild man get the pie?
Yes.
Then I am the wild man. Yes. Sorry I pretended I wasn't.
I'm investigating an anomaly. People say you're the one who can help me with my case.
Whole town is an anomaly. You must be more specific.
The bicycles. Can you tell me more about them?
The wild man looked pensive, shoving a handful of pie in his mouth.
I have a date with Destiny at midnight. Can wild man be done by then?
I have no idea.
Okay. Destiny can wait. It's only the second date.
The wild man and I made our way back to 1533 Grumbling Grove. He smeared his face in his pie as we walked.
Beautiful pie!
So what can you tell me about the bicycles?
The bikey cycles. Can you keep a secret?
Secrets are my business.
They are lost souls. Some people die and don't cross over to the other side. Those people become bikey cycles here.
So they are phantom bicycles. They are possessed?
Exactamundo. Bikies are the dead.
How can one communicate with a phantom bicycle?
Wild man can do that. Fun.
The wild man started running at full speed down the street. He had no idea where he was going, but the enthusiasm was appreciated. When we arrived at 1533 Grumbling Grove, he was swatting at the bicycle with a broom.
Do not frighten the bikey cycle. Wild man is here.
Looked skeptical, but stepped away from the bicycle, clutching her broom. The wild man began approaching the bike, and it recoiled like a timid creature.
Oh, it's okay, bikey. You's gonna be okay.
The wild man crept closer and closer. He pulled a tire pump from his pocket and offered it like a toy. The bicycle perked up and came forward curiously.
Now!
Without warning, the wild man whipped out a soup can full of thumbtacks and spread them around the bicycle in a circle. Alarmed, the bicycle stood frozen.
There. That should do it. No bikey cycle would dare leave a ring of tacks. 'Twould pop their tires.
And the wild man was right. The bicycle remained stock still. For now, the phantom bicycle was contained.
Now, the bikey cycles can't talk, but they can send thoughts straight into your brain.
So they communicate telepathically.
Ooh, a good word, Mr. Wordman. I like that. Use later. But also now. Yes, the bikey cycles are telepaths. You must have a blank mind to hear them, which is very easy for the wild man. That's me. I'm the wild man.
Stood anxiously between the bike and her late husband's ducks. The wild man squatted and closed his eyes. He began to mutter incoherently. His entire body shook violently. His neck contorted into impossible angles, back and forth, side to side. He bent over backwards with his belly button to the sky and arched his back so far it looked like it would snap. His mouth flew open, a random cropping of teeth, and he let out a moan like a broken wood chipper. The sound was loud, supernaturally so. It shook the garage, caused the rakes to shudder, and sent dust flittering from the ceiling beams. Then, just like kindergarten, the wild man sat up crisscross applesauce, grinned vacantly, and opened his eyes. They glowed a bright, shining yellow, like two headlights. His voice was no longer his own. The bicycle began to speak through him.
Hello?
Hello, sir. I am Dr. Kythe. I'm here to ask you some questions.
I see.
What are you doing here?
I have nowhere else to go.
Well, surely you have somewhere else to roam instead of tormenting this poor woman.
Poor woman? Is that...
How do you know my name?
What is your purpose, Bicycle Phantom?
What do you do when you are lost? When your life as you know it is gone forever? When you have nowhere left to go?
What?
You go home.
Oh. Marcus.
Hello, sweetheart.
Stepped forward, her face softening. The bicycle pedaled towards, in spite of the ring of thumbtacks. Its tires popped and began to deflate. The air hissed away and the bicycle toppled over. Dove to catch him by the handlebars.
I had to say goodbye to you. I didn't even get to say goodbye, and that didn't feel right. Even if I had to be a bicycle.
Thank you, Marcus. It's a very nice bicycle. It's been so lonely without you.
I know, darling. I love you.
I love you, too. Do you think maybe you could stay a while longer?
No, I can't. I need to move on.
Please, Marcus. I finally have you again.
It will be okay. It was my time, and I went the way I wanted to go. Eaten alive by ducks, just like that woman in the 70s.
Marcus, I can't lose you again. I don't care that you're a bicycle now. I'll oil your gears every day. We could go on the loveliest evening bike rides in the long summer months. We could get you new handlebars, the ones with the streamers.
It isn't right for me to stay. The dead don't get second chances. It's time for us to let go.
I will always miss you, Marcus.
We will see each other again one day. See you on the flip side.
The bicycle went limp. The wild man's eyes stopped glowing, and he collapsed to the floor.
Did I do it? Did I do the thing? How'd I do?
Gave a sad smile, still holding the bicycle in her arms.
You did just fine.
I left shortly thereafter, bracing myself for another 6-hour drive and crying spell. Decided to hold on to the no longer possessed bicycle. She said she was even going to ride it sometimes on the loveliest summer evenings. The wild man gathered his bike pump and soup can of tacks and wrapped them in a red and white checkered picnic blanket. He then saluted me and backflipped into a passing fog. When the fog cleared, he was gone. On my way out of town, I picked up a pack of those mandolin cigarettes. They're not so bad. Eventually, Crestfall disappeared from sight in my rearview mirror. Let it be known that the Phantom Bicycle requires no further containment.
This is the end of Ted's records. The Ethics Committee is currently investigating the possibility of an afterlife and the implications that may have on deceased SCPs and D-Class subjects. Furthermore, the town of Crestfall has been noted as an anomalous location, and instructions to find the town have been saved in our databanks. Though it would appear that some anomalies don't need to be secured or contained or protected, some anomalies are best left alone. Especially when the anomaly comes to death and love. You can hitch a ride with me next week, Ted. I'll drive.
The Phantom Bicycle was written by Evan Gulak. This episode featured guest star Nico Gerentes as the Wild Man. Our host and narrator was John Grills. Agent Ted Keith was played by Atticus Jackson. Redacted was played by Nicole Goodnight. And the Phantom Bicycle was played by Pacific Obadiah. Our composer is Tom Rory Parsons. I'm your showrunner and sound designer, Pacific Obadiah. And our producer is Tom Owen. This is a Bloody Disgusting show. For more information, visit bloody-disgusting.com.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
After all this time...
What time is it again? I feel like the clock stopped.
Time was a tennis ball we could bat round the court.
Time for distraction, too.
Time to just sink to the bottom.
Time to get to the meat of this meat.
Time for Greater Boston Season 4. That's right, on September 13th, Greater Boston returns with new full-length episodes released every other Tuesday. And we're so excited for you to hear it. But also, it's been 3 years since our last season wrap, so we're maybe a little worried that people might have forgotten about us. So we're asking for you to help spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your coworkers and classmates, tell your cat, tell your local subway busker. But politely and without interrupting their performance, point is, now is a good time to share your love for Greater Boston on Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram and TikTok and wherever else you post things. Then come back on September 13th when Greater Boston Season 4 officially begins.